We thank you, Lord, that every time we come together in your name, we can be really transformed when we give you space. Mm-hmm. And we give you the space right now, give you the freedom to speak into our lives and to bring significant transformation in us, Lord. Come, Lord. We want you in that, to that extent. And so we welcome you. We ask for your anointing upon Stephen and upon us as we listen. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. We ask you that even now you rule in the spiritual atmosphere and you would prevail. Prevail over every attack of the enemy. Prevail over every voice that is not of you. Prevail over every thought from ourselves that is not from you. So we welcome you, Lord. Let your voice be heard, Lord. Let your power fall. Come, change our lives as we call upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad today to see our father in the house, Pastor Michael. Welcome back. He's been missing for 2 weeks. Praise God. He's back. Yeah, so we are going to continue with our third Bible study series, which is entitled Kingdom Life Manifestation in Unity. And picking up from last week, where we looked at how believers operate in unity in the church, using the analog of the physical body to symbolize the functions of the members of the body in Christ. We are going to continue from today, that segment going forward today. So, without wasting much of the time, I would like us to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And I'm going to read from verse 13 to 19. The whole passage goes to verse 20, but I left out verse 20 deliberately because we are not focusing on it, of Jesus hiding himself to say, let no one know that I'm here. Verse 13, the Bible says, reading from NIV, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philip, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Simon Peter answered, but what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let me just finish the last verse. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Praise God. So I want to continue from this portion of scripture. Today, I want us to look at the authority which we, the members of the body, have. The power and the authority which we, the members of the body, have. Now, looking or drawing from this portion of scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned the church. And I want us to remember that the word church here encompasses us. Because the Bible does not talk about the physical building of the church or the temple that we have or this chapel, but it talks about the body of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who are united through their confession of faith in Jesus Christ. That is the church. Are we together on that? So every time in this context you hear me say church, just have it in mind that is not talking about the physical building. Of course, we use it to, you know, to say, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so I'm talking about the bigger universal church, which is the body of Christ, the unit of believers. Just to lay more foundation on that, when we come to John chapter 4, verse 23 there and 24, of course, after the conversation, it was during the conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Samaritan woman at the well. And then Jesus said something, you know, when he was challenged by the Samaritan woman to say, we, Samaritans, worship on Mount Gerizim. I mentioned this some time back, that Mount Gerizim was the place where the Samaritans, who were the half-Jews, had built their temple, which was parallel to the Mount Zion in Jerusalem, which was built by the pure Jews, so-called. Okay? I'm saying so-called pure Jews, in the sense that they are the ones who say, okay, us, we are the real Jews because we have not intermarried with any other Gentiles. Then Jesus said that the time is coming when true worshippers shall worship God in truth and spirit. Now, what he was trying to say there was to break the tradition and the theology of the woman to say, look, you are trying to confine God to places, but God cannot be confined to a place, neither at Jerusalem or at Mount Gerizim. And he went ahead to say, you, Samaritans, worship what you do not know, but us, we worship what we know. And then he came to say, the time is coming when true worshippers shall worship God in truth and in spirit. He was talking about the church, the coming of the church, which he came now here and promised to Peter. He told him to say, first, the disciples didn't know. We've heard the story. They were mentioning, oh, the prophet Elijah. There was confusion. You know, some were thinking it is John the Baptist who was resurrected from the dead. Others, it is Elijah, you know, who has come. Or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Then he said, okay, enough of what other people are saying. But you, the implication is that he asked them because he must have been wondering to say, I've been with these guys for now about 3 years, 6 months. But it's like they don't really know me. So he asked them to say, okay, but you, who do you say I am? Then others said this, others said that. But Peter, very quick at speaking and answering, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that is very powerful and profound. He had indeed a deep revelation. And when Jesus looked at him, he told him to say, Peter, I tell you, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you except my Father in heaven. And then he promised him to say, on this rock, from today, you are Peter. That's when the name was even given. From today, you are Peter, not Simon. And on this rock, I will build my church. I will give you the keys for the kingdom of heaven. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, there is some debate here and there and the different interpretations about what Jesus meant. Of course, our Catholic brethren, they say that Jesus meant that on the rock of Peter himself, that's where he would build the church, because Peter was an apostle. It makes sense in some way. And it is believed that the Vatican, you know, city temple, it is built just on top of the tomb of Peter. That's the history that we have there. Yeah, but in this particular context, I would like us to know that my theology and interpretation of this is that Jesus meant that He will build the church on the confession which Peter had just uttered. What was the confession? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, this was a spiritually inspired answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not just the Son of God, but the Son of the living God. Very powerful. So Jesus is saying that on this confession, that I am the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, I am going to build the church. Meaning that the people that will be coming after this will be professing the very confession. They will be professing their faith in this Son of the living God. And the church is going to be birthed. When we come in the book of Acts, we are going to hear all the miracles and everything that is happening. When we cross over to chapter 14, we are going to hear that the followers of Jesus were first called Christians. Why? Because of the way they were living. They saw them walking and doing things just like Jesus. And in fact, it wasn't an honorable name. They were calling them as a way of mockery. They're like, like a nickname. They are Christians, you know? But today, we are rejoicing in that mockery name itself. Because we are pleased to be called Christians, imitating this Jesus. So, Jesus promised something to say. I'll give you the keys. Now, you and me know that when you have the key to the house or to a building, it means at that particular time, you have got authority to grant access and not to. This has happened several times whereby we'll get the keys and then in the by and by, I'll find myself, maybe I go early home and then the keys have remained with Mary or vice versa. Then you find the other person waiting outside the veranda. Why? Because the authority has remained with somebody else. You see that? So, the key is the symbol of control and authority. In other words, Jesus was saying, I am going to give you the power and the control in this kingdom of God. You are going to have the authority. And of course, we'll see later this authority manifesting. So, in the same way, as Christians, last week I talked about spiritual gifts, how we are empowered and how we function as the body, which should also remind us that we are not supposed to despise one another or even looking down on ourselves. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, sometimes others will look down on us. Sometimes it is us, ourselves, who look down on ourselves. Okay? So we are empowered with these keys. Each one of us, beginning from here, all of us here, we've been empowered with the keys, with the authority. So I want you from today to be having that picture, that you've got the keys to open and to close, to allow somebody to enter and not to enter. I want you to understand that you've got this power to stop the enemy from doing something. You've got power. You've got power to permit the angels of God to operate with you through prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Through faith and prayer. Whenever we stand and we begin to pray, that's when we enforce the keys for the kingdom of heaven. When we just begin to pray, that's when we enforce. Now, I want to say something about the power of the keys. When I just came to the Lord, I've shared this story several times. But I just have to repeat it because it's part of me. Yeah. So when I just came to the Lord, I have shared that I joined the Baptist church. I started going there. And after I got baptized, eventually I decided to just stop everything. I said, let me just leave this church thing. I'm dreaming, I'm preaching every time and I'm young, you know, and the pastoral thing is not for young people. Let me just abandon this church thing and then do my own way. And above all, I haven't yet enjoyed life, you know, in the world. Why should I try to be holier than thou as young as I am? And then I found all sorts of reasons, you know, to convince myself that I shouldn't continue to be a Christian. The other thing that I was upset with was I could see my friends boasting about how their parents and, you know, their grandfather, their forefathers had been Christians, and then it was passed on as a generation. And then me in the Mwangas, I was the first one. So I would go back home. And now the surprising thing was my dad wasn't a Christian at that time and my mom. But every Sunday morning, they would be asking me to go to church. I was like, you don't go. Why are you sending me to church? No. I only start going back to church the day when you start going. Because I've seen my friends, it's their parents who are encouraging them to be going to church, not the children encouraging their parents. No, it doesn't work like that. So I'm going to stay. And there is this man I talk about, Deacon Gerard. He kept on visiting me. Every Sunday after service, I'll just see him coming. In Zambia, the Baptists, they wear the purple jackets. Every time I saw purple, I knew that it is me they are following. At one time, I even started running away. I would see purple coming, I would sneak off. One day, I had to ask him, I said, why do you keep on following me? What did I do in your church which makes you keep on coming after me? Please tell me. And then he smiled and told me to say, we love you, my brother, but Jesus loves you more. Aww. That really struck me. Very simple statement. I was like, all this energy and the effort, it's in the name of this love thing. That's why they are following. You know, that really confused me. I said, okay. I was struck and I decided to go back to church. I said, okay, I'm promising you this coming Sunday, I'm coming. That's how I went back to church again. Started within a short time, I was involved, you know, in singing, in the choir group and, you know, in the youth ministry. And then I started enjoying the church life all of a sudden. One time, I felt moved by the Lord to join the prayer ministry. I said, okay, let me join the intercessors. Then I joined the prayer ministry. And every, just like we do at VCF, every Sunday afternoon, the prayer ministry will go back to church and begin to pray. I only had one prayer request. Lord, save my parents and my entire family. Lord, save my parents and my entire family. Every time I would bring up that request, please pray for my father. Please pray for my mother. Please pray for my brothers and sisters. I'll go back home. I'll try to engage with my father. He was a staunch Jehovah's Witness before he stopped. Trouble would come. He would start asking me questions and intimidate me, especially when he's drunk. But we kept on praying. And I kept on praying. There was some fasting. You know, I couldn't really hold on those days. It was very difficult to just fast from morning to 4 p.m. It was really a big deal. You'd be planning to sneak out to go and have some food, but you're hanging there. Eventually, one day, we were just having a conversation with my dad, and the power of God just hit him. And I could see his face that he was convicted, and he told me to say, my son, you've been talking to me about this Jesus. I want to accept him now. Help me.
Wow.
You are my son. We've had a lot of arguments, and I have seen him changing your life. So because he has changed your life and you are no longer a trouble to me, I want to receive him.
Wow.
He's a good Jesus who has changed my son. I led my dad to Christ. My dad will be fired up from that time. And then you start ministering to my mom. Then eventually, I had an opportunity to minister to mom. She received the Christ as well. And I prayed for her. I remember mom crying under the power of the Spirit of God. Then with my siblings, dad would become a powerful evangelist. He just invited them. I used to have a Saturday prayer meeting. He even told me, he started extending the house. I've never mentioned that part. He extended the house and built a very big living room. And he said, I feel in my spirit that this place is going to be a place of prayer.
Wow.
So I'm preparing this room in advance. And then my sisters, my brothers were invited. I ministered to them and they all received Christ and followed me to the Baptist church, including mom and dad. And in 2008, that was 2007. 2008, mom and dad were baptized on the same day.
Wow.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Now, why have I come to this? I'm talking about the power of the keys. Prayer is one of the keys that we possess as children of God, which breaks shackles, which breaks chains. There were chains that had bound my family, my parents. It's very unusual, you know, for parents to accept Christ from their children most of the times. But through the grace of God, because I understood the power of the keys through the prayer ministry that I had joined, and I kept on bringing it up all the time, a miracle happened. Though it didn't happen immediately, but eventually a miracle took place. And today, my family is no longer the same. That's why I want us to be encouraged to be even joining the prayer ministry whenever you find time. Sunday evening, if you are able in the morning, join and get involved. Bring up those requests. Bring up those names. And you see the same God who helped me to transform the lives of my parents and my entire family, we will do the same in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So prayer is one of the keys. The other key that we have, it is our faith in Jesus Christ. Of course, that comes as the first one. But I've started with prayer because some conversion of some people will only come after you have prayed for them. Amen.
Amen.
That's why I put prayer first. And I know even my conversion experience was done by a prayer of somebody. That's how God works. So, the confession of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, except by my Father in heaven. What was the revelation of Peter knowing Christ as the Son of the living God? So the key for the kingdom of heaven is the salvation of our faith, of having our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That is a very powerful key. Knowing him personally, having that knowledge and revelation about this Jesus, that will become powerful. Amen.
Amen.
When you just know him, you just invite him in your life and say, Lord, take over. I know you now. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And then you have that revelation. You have that. Having the revelation, it's being personal with Jesus. Having that personal encounter, one-on-one with Jesus. You accept him and say, Lord, here I am. I surrender to you. Have your way in my life. And then he begins to work out things in your life. That is one of the keys. That what makes us to be a church. Without Jesus, there is no church on this planet. Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying that with all boldness. Without Jesus Christ, there is no existence of church. That's what we believe as Christians. Amen?
Amen?
So this is the power of the key. When we read in the book of Revelation, chapter, let me just go there quickly. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Jesus said something. Praise God. Jesus says something very interesting here about the keys. I want you to just get that picture. Okay. Verse 18, he says, let me start from verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Amen?
Yes.
I hold the keys of death and Hades. Now, NIV translates hell as Hades. When we read King James Version, we are going to hear that it says that I hold the keys of death and hell. From the scripture that we just read in Matthew, we read from NIV that the gates of Hades will not prevail. But King James tells us that, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. So Jesus is saying that I have authority. I have these keys. He's not having the physical keys whereby we can see gring, 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 he's walking with them. No. What he's saying... Yeah, because sometimes we get tempted to have something interpreted literally, you know. Yeah, so what he's saying is that he has power and control. Remember we defined the symbolic of the metaphor of the keys. It's power, authority, and control over death and hell. And we can only understand this by what has been said before. Okay? He says that I am the first and the last. I am the living one. One. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. I am the living one. I was dead, and now I am alive forever and ever. Remember the confession of Peter. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, what he's saying is that I died, but I had authority over death, because death could not hold me in the grave. Amen. I overcame it by coming back to life. He's the only man in heaven and on earth who died and resurrected and lives forever. Lazarus was raised back from the dead, but he died again. You know, Tabitha and all those, you know, daughters of Jairus and so on and so, they died again, but he's the only one who has defied the power of death forever and ever. So in other words, he's saying that I have power and authority over death. Amen.
Amen.
Because I overcame it. So that's the symbolic of the keys. And he says that no gates of hell shall prevail against this church. I want you to be putting, because some, you know, when I was just starting my Christianity, every time I read such scriptures, I was imagining, you know, something like a bulldozer is coming, you know, against the church building, and then it is hitting the church like boom, and then it is bouncing. you know, it is bouncing against the building. So what this means is that our faith, you and me, as the body of Christ, this movement of the kingdom, this expansion of the kingdom, cannot be stopped, cannot be silenced. Even what they have done in Sri Lanka in the past few days of killing people, because of trusting and having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot stop the move and the expansion. In fact, what God does is, whenever something like that happens, that's where now there is massive expansion in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. You can imagine, when the apostles were being persecuted and beheaded, that's when they prayed more, and the Bible tells us that, and the word of the Lord prevailed. Amen. Amen. They will continue to preach. When we come in Acts chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, we are going to hear that Peter is arrested. Peter and James, they are arrested for healing the crippled man in chapter 3. And then they are told to say, don't preach anymore in this name. Which name? The name of Jesus. The Bible says that they flogged them and let them go and warned them earnestly never to preach again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter bluntly answered them right there and said, who are we going to choose between man and God? We choose to obey God rather than man. They just went out immediately outside the courts. They begin to preach again. Hallelujah. Why? Because no gates of hell can prevail against the church. So I want us to be encouraged that we carry this power and authority. All of us here, we have this power. As we reach out to our friends and speak to them, they might be stubborn today. But as we press on, they are going to come to the saving knowledge of God. Amen. Amen. And as you continue to pray and move under the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will guide you even on how to talk to people. Sometimes, just ask them about what they believe in. What is your belief? This happened to me when I was working as a chaplain intern at Methodist Hospital. I encountered this physician, a doctor, who has been a doctor for 27 years. And so I entered in the critical care unit. Of course, he saw the badge. He was like, chaplain, you religious guys. No. You are very difficult to talk to. I am stressed out right now. I want some rest. I said, calm down, sir. Calm down, sir. No, the problem is you like pushing your agenda. I said, no. I'm not here to push my agenda, sir. I'm just here to talk to you, you know. I'm just here to listen to you, actually. I didn't come to talk to you. I came to listen to you. What is it that is going on with you? He was like, are you sure? I said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. But I came to listen to you. Sir, you are saying that you Christians, so who are you yourself? Could you please tell me more about what you stand for? Because already you have identified yourself that you are not a Christian. He said, wow, I believe in Mother Nature. I'm a scientist. I've been working as a doctor for the past 27 years. That's my job. I said, okay, go ahead, sir. Please, could you share? You know, I've got no knowledge about, you know, the Mother Nature you are talking about. Please, could you share with me? You know, teach me. I want to know. And then the man poured out his heart. I was just praying in my heart. I was like, oh my God, when is he going to finish? But I hung in there. You know, he went on explaining theories, this. I said, wow. Yeah, that's it, chaplain. Have you listened? I was just acknowledging. And then I was like, yeah, I've heard that. That's very interesting. But, you know, can I just say something? He was like, yeah. After you have allowed me to talk all these minutes, yeah, go ahead. I was like, you see, I just see a very slight misunderstanding between us Christians and you scientists. Because everything that you've explained to me, you have made known to me what is physical, you know. You have explained what goes on. But me, when I come to explain as a Christian, I explain the invisible. You know, so you are telling me the physical, I explain the invisible. So actually, we speak one and the same thing. You know, Everything that you've talked about, that is the theory of creation, it is there in Genesis. You know, I went there, started pointing to him. And it happened that somebody in Zambia who is doing a master's as a teacher, they were doing philosophy, and they were asked to reconcile science and theology, and they didn't know where to start from. So they sent me an email to ask me. That prompted me to do some research on that paper. And not knowing that, I was preparing for that encounter. So the knowledge that I had about that, I used it, you know, to explain to this man. And then he was like, wow, I've never heard a Christian talking like that. And then, of course, he had warned me. So I didn't even want to ask him for prayer, whether I wanted to be prayed for. I just said, oh, sir, I'm now going to leave. Please have a wonderful time and wishing you well. And then when I was about to step out, he was like, chaplain, please pray for me to your God.
Wow.
I said, hallelujah, sure. Fire and thunder. 3 days later, fast forward, I'll be walking in the hallway. I'll just hear somebody shouting, chaplain. When I turned, it was the same man. Your God has healed me.
Wow.
He had the problem with the liver. Your God has healed me. I am discharged today. Thank you so much. I felt the temptation to run after him and begin to thunder the gospel to him. But I restrained myself. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is, God will give us wisdom, knowledge, when we get vested. You know, when we have that revelation, he'll give us that knowledge and the wisdom, how to communicate to people. You know, because some people, they feel intimidated, you know, when maybe they are engineers, then they'll start, like Jong, for example, you start explaining the engineering theories and you get confused. You are like, what is he talking about? You know, and the thing is, they want to see that you are hearing what they are saying and you are interested. So follow them to say, okay, tell me, what is it that you are believing in? And then let's reconcile. My position is this. So can we find the common ground, you know, and see what is best for all of us? You do that prayerfully and you see people coming to the Lord. The keys is the knowledge and wisdom, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So, in reference to this scripture, we've been promised that we are standing on a sure foundation through our knowledge and revelation of Jesus Christ. I've already mentioned that. We are standing on that foundation. He said, you are the rock. Now, that rock came because of the profession. So Jesus was using a prophetic declaration by giving him that name to say, okay, what you've declared is the rock. That's the foundation of the church. Christ, the Son of the living God, is the foundation of the church. And on this very foundation, the church is going to be birthed. For it to be sure, I want people to begin to confess it every time they see you by calling you Peter. Rock, rock, rock. Amen. Praise God. I'm just imagining that now, prophetically or spiritually. Amen. Yeah. And then, this means that, come what may, as I've already said, we cannot be shaken. We are not those who shrink back. We move forward. I have testified aggressively, you know, through my life in so many areas. We don't shrink. Come what may, we'll move forward. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes challenges will come and discourage us, and then we'll be like, oh no, this which has happened, it is discouraging me now. I don't know. I'm just going to stop. You know, I'll stop. No one is caring about me. You know, my family is rejecting me, and my friends at work, you know, everyone is doing his own business or our business. We are those that do not shrink. We are planted on the sure foundation, Jesus Christ, our faith in Jesus Christ. We have the power over principalities, demonic influences, and all manner of diseases and affliction. through Jesus Christ. That's the power that we are carrying, all of us. All of us. Sometimes we tend to separate, to say, I know the attitude that we have as church members is to point to the father, the pastor. It's him. It's only him. Even when he assigns you to say, no, you can reach out and pray for somebody, you are like, ah, no, I think, pastor, I can't do it unless you came yourself. Amen. I want us to be encouraged that as God is using him to equip us, he's doing the apostolic work to equip the saints as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a teacher. He's preparing us. And when he prepares us, he cannot be preparing us for years and years. We're just in the preparation stage. No, we need to begin to act. For example, when we go to universities or school, high school, college, there is progress that is done, right? We cannot remain in the kinder. I'm not being rude, you know, by comparing the kinder. I'm just giving an example. Yeah, at least you get upset. You're like, oh, why is he trying to bring it so low? Or maybe we are in high school. There must be progress. We move from one level to the other. Even in Christian faith, it's the same. This year, next year, we should not just be in one position. There must be change, okay? We see that, okay, now Brother Martin is on fire and thunder now. He's reaching out to the fellow men, you know, in the communities. He's ministering to them. Sister Breeze is reaching out to the friends, you know, he's ministering. My sister there is reaching out, touching lives. That's how the kingdom of God has been designed. Oftentimes, Jesus kept on talking about the expansion of the kingdom of God in figures. You know, it's like a tree which was like small and then it grew bigger. A small seed was planted, it grew into a fig tree, and then birds of the air came and started perching in it, sleeping in it and doing, you know, it's like yeast that begins to grow. So it is designed to expand. And we are the army of the Lord, prepared to reach out and bring that change and transformation in people's lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So by faith as believers, we can permit through prayer, through the power of prayer, as I already mentioned. Then we have the assurance of Christ's presence to guide and help us throughout our Christian journey. Always remember that. Sometimes we become afraid to pray for people. We become afraid. You are like, oh, what is going to happen? You even begin to shake. You know, there is that fear that comes. How am I going to start? And especially the prayer ministry is very interesting. I've had instances in the church where people just come and they look very upset and aggressive, you know. You ask them, you are like, how would you like us to pray? Just anything. And then you are like, whoa. Okay. Let's pray. And now, when you say let's pray, before the Lord brings something, maybe you are just in the spirit, charging. And immediately, a revelation will just come. This way, you just begin to hammer in that direction. Prayer, you begin to call up things. You begin, all of a sudden, you see somebody crying. And then you are like, oh, you just said this way, but what's happening? At the end, they will just tell you to say, God has used you. I was doing it out of frustration to tell you that, pray for me in any way. But everything that you've said, that's exactly my request. We have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. As believers, because the Lord is with us, when he ascended, sometimes we tend to forget, you know, we are afraid because we think that he's no longer with us. Because we don't see him, we are like, ah, is God really with me? Let me tell you something. I think that should be in 2008 or 9. Sometimes, you know, these incidences, I think it was 2008. So this sister from the Baptist church where I used to go,
called me and said, "Ah, Brother Stephen, there is somebody who needs prayer. They've been the church, they are a church member, but it has been long. You know, they are stricken with some affliction, sickness. So please, let's go. Come in the evening, we go together and pray." I said, "Ah, no problem, I'm coming." So I went there. Then we went with about three sisters. They escorted me. We went in that house. We reached the living room. We sat there. And then I was like, "Oh," talking to the mother. I said, "Oh, praise God. Actually, we heard that our sister has been sick and the like. Could you please call the patient so that, you know, we can come and pray for her?" And then she said, "Actually, the patient is just right where you are seated there, next, on that mat." Then I was like, "Oh, okay." When she came and uncovered, the lady was slim, just bones, the head, and I was very afraid. We couldn't hear her breathe, and all we saw was a blanket covered, and then the head, we thought it was the pillow, which was just put there. We couldn't see a person. That's how slim and skinny she had become. And so the moment she said, "Oh, she's here," and then she came and uncovered her, fear gripped in me. I said, "Oh, Ramashe Tereva." You know those times whereby you're afraid and you don't know what to do. And you're like, "Oh my God," but you can't just say it again. You know, it would be embarrassing and you are confused. And then I told the sisters, I said, "Hallelujah. Please just give me one worship song. You know, just worship the Lord. You know, the presence of God is here, but I'm shaking to death." Yeah. And so they started singing. I started also singing, you know. In the by and by, we did it over and over. And all of a sudden, I got charged.
Yes. Amen.
And then the Spirit of God was upon me so heavily that I went and knelt down, laid my hand upon the head of that woman, started praying. And something more shocking happened. The prophetic utterance was coming to say, "Tonight, as you are sleeping, the Lord is releasing strength over your life. And by tomorrow morning, you will stand up and begin to walk." That person had been, she used to be 10, you know. And then I said that with all boldness and people were shouting, "Hallelujah!" The mother was even crying. I was charged, you know, we prayed and we praised the Lord. After that moment, we left the house. And then I started thinking about the whole thing. I said, "Oh my God." And in fact, what I said was, "Tomorrow morning, I'll come back and confirm the word of the Lord." Hallelujah. You know, some zeal of the youth that comes sometimes under the Spirit of God. I said, I'll come and confirm the word tomorrow in the morning. Then I went. The enemy was whispering to say, "Is she really going to get well? Did you see her status for you to prophesy?" They will say, "You are a false prophet, you are a liar." I started battling that thought. Battled it to an extent. I'm saying this, it's embarrassing, but I'm saying it to the glory of the name of the Lord. In the morning, I woke up, I said, this voice is coming so heavily. What if you went there and then you found that she's still in the certain place, or you just hear that she's now dead or something? What are you going to do? So I quickly got my phone and called the sister who took me there and said, you know, sometimes I even lied actually. I said, "I woke up very late, you know, so I'm on my way for work. So I can't make it, you know, to go and see the sister. Please, could you just find some time to go and pass through and see what happened?" Hallelujah. "The Lord is with you, my dear. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then she went there. After some time, about an hour or so, my phone rang and I saw a number. I said, "Oh no, Lord, First, I hesitated to pick. I said, I don't know the outcome. And then when I picked, she was excited. Brother Stephen, the Lord has done it. I found her walking, exercising around the house. But she's very slim. All the energy was rekindled within me. And I said, hallelujah. I knew it. I knew it. Praise the Lord. Jesus, I felt the temptation to go and ask my supervisor to leave immediately to go and check on the miracle. But I had to wait until I knocked off. Immediately, I went there now. That's when now I went with the Bible, walking very fast. And after I came back, the Lord now was asking me, like, so what is all this drama that has been going on? You have no faith. You say something and you think that it is your doing. It is me who is at work, not you. You are just a vessel. That changed my perspective. Amen.
Amen.
I am saying this to show us as the church that each one of us has got authority through the Spirit of God, through our faith in Jesus Christ, to overcome even such challenging circumstances like that issue I've just mentioned. You can pray even yourself and miracles will take place in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We have the keys.
Yes.
We have the keys. From today, let's remember that we have the keys for the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
We have the keys for miracles. We have the keys for signs and wonders. We have the keys to pray and break through. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is with us. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he said that all authority has been given to me. That is after his resurrection. In heaven and on earth. Therefore, that is a conjunction word. Or having said this, in this capacity, go and make disciples. Or in this very power, in this very authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he concludes by saying, lo, or behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Jesus is with us. The Spirit of God is with us. God the Father is with us. The angels are always with us. They are ministering angels sent out to minister with us who are the heirs of salvation, according to the book of Hebrews. Amen.
Amen.
So, I want you to be imagining that you are surrounded by the angels. Sometimes we might be doubting like Gehazi. Just like I doubted at that moment of that healing miracle. When Elisha was surrounded by the enemy, Gehazi came running. He said, my father, we are surrounded by the enemy. And then he just told him to say, those who are with us are more than our enemies. He couldn't believe it. You are seeing soldiers armed, and then somebody is saying, the invisible is more than our enemies. Until the prophet had to pray, he said, Father, open his eyes that he may see what I'm talking about. Lo and behold, God heard his prayer. He saw the chariots of fire, heavily guarding them. I believe he was jumping. He was like, yes! Those who are with us are more than our enemies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, what is implied there is that when Gehazi saw, instead of seeing them being surrounded, he saw that the very enemies were surrounded by the chariots of fire. Hallelujah. That's why I like that song when the worship team we sing. We may feel like
I'm surrounded.
We've been surrounded, but We are surrounded by the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, Sister Amen. Shannon, bless her in Jesus' name. I can hear her voice right now. Yeah, so we have the keys. We have the power, children of God. The gates of hell will not prevail. So that's why the last point is that we continue to grow numerically and spiritually by the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer and the word of the Lord. Amen. Therefore, let us continue to encourage and build one another so that as the body we may continue to be in unity and built up as the army of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
Let me read the last scripture and then we are going into the discussion. Praise God.
Amen.
So I'm going to read the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll read from verse 11. I'll just take some time. This is the conclusion part. Verse 11, the Bible says, therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and called and circumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Amen. Let me read the last verse, verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Let me finish the two verses. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. I want you to mark verse 18. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. All of us, as I've been saying, we have the keys.
Amen.
Through whom? Jesus. Brother Rajiv was preaching. Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And through him, through the confession of Peter, of Christ being the Son of the living God, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, which is the church, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So this is the conclusion of what we are just reading there. Verse 22 finally says, and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. We are being built to become a dwelling in which God himself lives. Amen. When Jesus said, do not be afraid, in my Father's house there are many mansions or rooms, the Greek word used is mone. Mone. Which means household. Which means house. The word the oikos is not used there, but for house. But which means a dwelling place. Tabernacle. Amen. So we are dwelling places as individuals, we are dwelling places of the living God. Christ comes into us. The Spirit comes into us. God the Father is within us. The kingdom, Jesus said, you don't look for the kingdom to say the kingdom is there. It's there. The kingdom, in fact, is within you. Amen. May the Lord bless us as we reach out there to go and preach the gospel, to go and manifest the power of the keys of the kingdom of God, to show the world that we are the light of the world. We cannot be silent. May He empower us by the Spirit of God. Sometimes when I pray very much, I feel the steering power within the belly. Amen. Whereby you can't just sit. That's why when I begin to talk, I go on. I can talk like the Apostle Paul up to tomorrow morning. You'll be like praying, can you stop? We want to go. Okay, let me end here now. So we are going to break in small groups very quickly. And we've got three questions that we are going to discuss. The first one, even as we are going in groups, I want you to begin to think right now is, one, do you understand that you are called to be part of the army of the Lord in advancing His kingdom through your ministry? Each one of us in here, we've been called, but do we realize it? And if we do, in which ways? I want you to begin to identify those areas where you feel, you know? May I be permitted to just say something which I shared in our small group last week about that? So, when we are discussing something similar about spiritual gifts, I gave an example of the current pastor in charge of music ministry in our church back in Zambia. This brother, he was the first person who came to the church, the one I testified that after when I was about to give up, the Lord brought him. So I asked him as we started, what is it that you are feeling the Lord is leading you to do? The brother said, Pastor, I've got the passion to sing for the Lord, praise and worshiping the Lord. And then a couple of times, you know, he started leading in the praise and worship. He couldn't sing. The voice was, I was just praying to say, Lord, may this brother not embarrass me from the people that I invited. When he opens up his voice, he'll be just, hey! I was like, I could call him at the end of the service. My brother, have you prayed about this gift you are talking about? I was even losing faith now. Have you really prayed that, you know, it's the one that God wants you to save him with? He was like, yeah, Pastor, I feel just this passion, this zeal. But because of the way he was talking about it with passion, I started encouraging him. But, you know, I was dampened in my spirit. I said, please. I tried him, you know, to teach. He couldn't. You know, tried him something else. He couldn't. But just that. Then I said, okay, let me continue to encourage him. I continue to encourage him. Today, this man is a pillar in the music ministry, in the church. He can sing. And when he says he is missing church, I could even begin to get stressed. I'm like, now what is going to happen with the worship team? This is the guy. Now, when I remember where he's coming from, people will not understand it today. When you say, this guy was failing to sing, they will say you are lying. But he followed the passion which was within him. Though his voice wasn't trained at that time, it was coming out negatively because I was trying to judge him by the current situation. But the gift was embedded within him. I want to encourage us that each one of us, our gifts are embedded. You might have tried and then it's not coming out well. Keep hammering. Hallelujah. Keep it up in the name of Jesus. And it is coming alive. Okay, let me continue. Praise God. So, the second thing we are going to talk about is, what are some of the ways in which you have tested the use of the kingdom keys the Lord has given you? What are some of your ways? I want you to discuss about some of the testimonies. I've talked about so many testimonies.
how these keys have been used. Amen? I want you to just identify those spiritual landmarks. I call them spiritual landmarks. How God has been coming through. That is going to help you. The last point, the last question is going to be, how do you perceive the call of the Lord over your life to participate in advancing his kingdom, in parentheses, church, through your talents, gifts, skills, and profession? So let's think about that. Each one of us have got skills in here, talents, gifts. We've got professions. How are we using those now to function in Vision Christian Fellowship and also in the church, the bigger church out there, wherever you'll be sent by the Lord. The Lord bless us. Amen.